Sometimes we talk about what we value, but we live out what we truly value. Let's discover what that means from 2 Timothy today. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today's message, What We Value, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, will give us a new perspective, a fresh perspective on how we guard our value system to be in line with what God calls us to be as women and men of Christ, choosing to follow God every single day. As we open the Word together, know that we're open to you as well. Love to pray with you, pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number. Jot it down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, over these days, we are taking a good look, trying to understand, you know, something that Jesus said. Jesus gathered all those who believed in him and said, you need to let your light so shine before others, before everyone. You need to let your light shine so that when others see this light, that they would do one thing, and that's turn toward the Father, glorify the Father which is in heaven. And we are trying to apply that, first of all, to our own lives individually. Me, I'm asking God, and I'm inviting you to join with me in this. What does that mean for me? What does it mean for you individually? What does it mean for our church? What does it mean for the church? Let your light so shine. Let me put it in another way. What do people know us for? What are you known for? What am I known for? It's a deep question. Last week we considered the fundamental issue at stake. We are the church where everyone, because we're all in this, can invite anyone, that's the whole world, any person of any description, any place, any time. And our role, our responsibility is invite everyone to come, to gather, to come to our church, to be in church, to come and be amongst God's people, because we know that when they do, they're going to encounter the living one. That's what's happening right now. That's what's happening. That's why we're here, to encounter the living one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to show you something here. I want to begin today. This is... Not what I'm saying is powerful. This, what we're about to talk about, is very powerful stuff, my friends. You and I have got to get this, because today we're going to talk about what we value. All right, so here's the, you know, we love our children. If you were to go to most parents today, if you were having a seminar with parents and you may be a grandparent or you're a teacher and you were to say to young parents today, what's most important when you bring up children? What is very important? You have to begin at the point of asking them this question. Parents, moms and dads, it's going to be determined by what you value. How you bring up your children is in direct proportion to what you value the most, right? Yes? So you value, for example, quantity or quality. Which one comes first, parents? The quality of what you do or the amount of what you do? And parents who value their children would obviously say, well, it's the quality, which doesn't demean or discount quantity, right? if you're a parent, you have to value time spent with your children more than anything else. Dads, look at me. Some of you are messing with your kids because you don't value the time that you give to that son and that daughter. You cannot be a passing ship in the night. You better do something about it if in fact you value the value of time. Everybody listening to me, some of you men are just in the name of business and doing stuff and going and doing the things you want to do. You're sacrificing your children because you don't value the time that you give them. It's not what you give them. I promise you, when you get to my age and you look back, some of the regrets you will always have is you'll say, I wish I had spent more time with my kids. I was just too busy. We're just too busy. You need to, listen to me, you need to start saying no to everything and everybody else because your kids are growing up and you don't value the time. All that little girl wants is a little bit of time with you, Daddy. If you don't value that, you're not going to do it. Simple as that. Don't give me all this hoopla about you need to be somewhere. Just stop it. Can you feel that? If in fact you value that. This is not a lesson today about raising kids. How much more so as believers? How important do you think our core values are? You as a believer. Let me tell you about some things that core values do. I'm just going to give them to you, just boom, boom, like this. This is a huge subject. If you were teaching a leadership seminar today at your business, take these, apply these in your business. Take it to your office, your next boardroom. Take it into that schoolroom. Coaches, listen. Listen to this, coaches. But I'm asking this as a believer today. Core values are fundamental beliefs. They are fundamental beliefs. Core values are guiding principles. They're the principles upon which I operate because they're fundamental to what I believe. I value this. Core values dictate behavior. The reason you behave like you do is because you've got a problem with your core values. Core values dictate behavior. You dress like you do, act like you do, eat food with your mouth open like you do, behave like you do, cuss like a trooper like you do, talk to people like you do, demean women like you do, behave like you do because of your lack of core values. That's why. Can you feel it? Strong. I mean, this is like in your face stuff. Right? This is not, well, whatever you think. Core values determine the right pathway. Core values measure the success of your goals. How do you know that you succeed? Excuse me, the only way you can know if you succeed is if you have values against which to measure your success. Otherwise, what are you measuring it against? You've got no standard. Because you just believe, well, anything goes, whatever. The reason America has been such a powerful, strong nation for generations and generations is because the core values of this country, and what's wrong with America today is our core values are being threatened. So whoever you are out there, don't tell me I cannot worship in freedom, because that is fundamental to my core value. Any questions? All right, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, just to start out with. If you will look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message, What We Value, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a few moments. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, this is not just a presentation of great preaching and great scripture. It's a conversation. And if the Lord has stirred your heart, maybe even to have some questions about what Dr. Don is preaching about, maybe questions about your own life, or just you'd like someone to pray with you, we're here right now to do that at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number. It'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. If you'd rather connect online, you can do that. Keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We are here to encourage you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, some listening today might say, wow, you know, Pastor, you pretty serious about this. Well, God is very serious with me, because the weakest side of my life is the frequency with which my own life runs interference on the core values that I am in my relationship with Jesus. These are very, very important. So let's just put this down as a starting point. I'm going to read to you a core value of the Christian faith right now, and of me, and of you, and of our church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, in order that the people of God may be complete. Don't you love that word? And equipped for every good work. Interesting. Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's just read this one verse again. I'd like to highlight it, and I'm going to come back to it again. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, in order that the people of God may be complete and equipped to let their light shine, so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our church, this church, has five core values. You're part of a church. If I was anywhere near this community, I would scramble to be part of a church that had these five core values. Number one, absolute truth. Core value number one, absolute truth. That is fundamental. This is our fundamental belief. It's our guiding principle. It dictates our behavior. It determines the rightness of our pathway, and it's the measurement of our success. Absolute truth. What is absolute truth? Here it is. God's word. Every word from Genesis to Revelation. We don't believe that this word contains God's words. It is. Every word. We don't leapfrog. Talk to me about that, because I'm a Bible teacher, preacher. Can I possibly suggest to you and to all our life group leaders and discipleship leaders how many times, because I'm a systematic Bible expositor, I come across passages that don't suit me? Excuse me just a minute. Do you know how many times I end up coming across passages that don't suit me, that I'm a little bit afraid of, because if I actually even read them, someone's going to pick it outside my church. Or if we dared say that God said this, we might have started a revolution. We believe in absolute truth. There are three critical issues that face the church in America today. Can I give them to you? Number one's the issue of absolute truth. Do we or don't we believe that God's word from Genesis to Revelation is the inerrant, inspired word of the living God? Do we or don't we? We do. I do. You do. This is God's word. All scripture is breathed by God. Second most critical issue is the issue of personal conviction. I love personal convictions. You know what I really pray when we look at these boys and girls dressing up like this? Our little ones, grandkids, I hope all our kids grow up with being men and women of great personal convictions. Personal convictions for believers need to come out of absolute truth. It's the outgrowth of that. But watch this, folks. If we believe fundamentally in absolute truth, we can never get to the point at which we allow ourselves to use our personal convictions as a substitute for absolute truth. You with me? So let's go to the third critical issue facing the church, the issue of personal preference. All right, you get absolute truth. That's the fundamental core value. Just a little over this way. Personal convictions. Great things. I didn't nullify them. We work for that. We want that. But it can never take the place of absolute truth. No matter how much we're convicted, if it's not absolute truth, your and my personal conviction can never take the place of absolute truth. But then one step further over this way is the issue of personal preference. And we're all people who have personal preferences. Of course we are. Look at us. We all like it this way and that way. We have our own teams. We like to eat food in this way, and we don't like this, and we want that, and we need to. Personal preference. Have you ever figured out why we never take surveys in this congregation? Because we can't deal with the personal preferences. Can you imagine? You want me to tell you the stupidest thing I can ever do to you as a congregation? Is that we've got something to do and we get up with our leaders and say, what do you all think? Right? Is that a criminal thing? It's not criminal. You can criticize me. I like my eggs over easy. You got a problem with that? I want it running all over the place. And if you throw up because my eggs run all over the place, get a life. Go and eat next door. That doesn't make me a criminal. That makes me very sensible because it's got good taste in it. Personal preferences, guys, it's not a criminal thing. Nobody did anything wrong. But watch this. Personal preferences can never be a substitute for absolute truth. Never. May I just very lovingly tell you why so many churches are in trouble? I just told you. Core value number one. Look at that. I'm only on number one. I might need to turn this into 2 weeks. Core value number two. Intentional unity. Intentional unity. We value a determined oneness for the purposes of God. Now listen to this, folks. This is very important. Tell you what I want to read to you quickly. I even marked it in my Bible, I think, so that I can get it. Well, obviously, I didn't mark it. I want to just read to you Psalm 133. Just listen to this. I want to read it to you. Psalm 133. It's very short. Behold, God said, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings of life forevermore. Everybody watch me. You want God to continue to bless this church? Excuse me. You want God to continue to bless this church? We will never sacrifice the core value of unity. We do not permit disunity in the house of God, because God's word teaches it. And God says, you want blessings? Be unified. This is not the United States Congress. And Lord help us if ever we did become that. I'll show you today one church after another fighting, carrying on, fussing, people getting up, strutting around. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to play with you anymore. Watch me, folks. This is a core value. By the way, why don't you introduce that into your family circle? Why don't you sit down with your wife in full agreement with your sons and your daughters? Teach them this. As a believer, as a Christian family, as a Christian family, unity places total value on the Lordship of Christ. It recognizes the volatility of human nature. Did you get that one? It recognizes that. It recognizes the sinful volatility of human nature. That's the sinful nature. Sinful nature is my way or the highway. Sinful nature is, well, as far as I'm concerned. Sinful nature is, well, I'm going to tell you what. That's sinful nature. We all have that propensity. All of us, me and you. Excuse me. Some of you need to get up and lead. This world needs leaders, spiritual leaders. Where is the church? Intentional unity understands the mandate of Scripture to follow hard after God. All right, number one, core value number one, absolute truth. Core value number two, intentional unity. Core value number three, redemptive passion. We value burdened hearts for broken people. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. It just does something to me. We. I value that. I want to tell you something. I value my burdened heart for broken people because this is of the Lord. I value your burdened heart for the brokenness of the people amongst which we live. We as a church, that's a core value, folks. It drives us. Why do we have redemptive passion? Because we live in a lost and a dying world. Because we know what Christ has done for us. Where would I be without Jesus? Me. Listen, before Jesus became the Lord of my life, you want me to start telling you about me? Apart from the fact that I've always been such a wonderful person. You know, selfish and headstrong. My way or the highway. You want a piece of me, man? Get in my face. Angry. I carried with me an anger in my heart. It was an anger. A lot of circumstances in life. When Jesus came into my life, and he's still working on me, but this is why redemptive passion is so, because I've seen it in my own life. I'm not the same person. I'm restrained and harnessed by the Spirit of God, and my burden is that others too would come to know Christ. Number four, redemptive prayer. Sorry, dependent prayer. All right, let's go through these. Number one, these are our core values. This is what, folks, these are our fundamental beliefs. This is what guides the principles upon which we serve the Lord. Right here. This is what dictates our behavior. It determines the right pathway, and it's the measure of our success. Number one, absolute truth. Number two, intentional unity. All of these require jolly hard work. Discipline. You don't fall out of bed with these things. They're all a threat to the human spirit, but not to God by His Spirit. Number three, redemptive passion. I just want you to know about Jesus. Dependent prayer, because we know what Jesus said. Jesus gathered His disciples and He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." He showed us and He invited us to be dependent on Him through prayer. Isn't it wonderful?
What a powerful message from the pastor. And maybe as he's been talking about this sense of depending on God, you're realizing that you really can't depend on someone if you don't have a relationship with them. You know, there are people in our lives, they're family members, and as we build those relationships, we know we can count on them. We can depend on them. Well, I'll tell you, God is the one you can depend on more than anyone else. But you start with a personal relationship with Him. Would you please take a moment? And if you've got questions, call us, 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. But more than that, would you open your heart to perhaps the most important question our pastor has to pose than this whole broadcast today?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You. And I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
If you've just given your life to Christ, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to a family that you can never be ripped apart from. I pray that you would open your heart to more family conversations with us right now. You can connect with us on our website at tewonline.org or give us a call at 866-899-WORD. Our pastor, Dr. Wilton, has a wonderful packet of information for you if you've just given your life to Jesus Christ or you've rededicated your life to Christ that He wants you to have absolutely free, but you need to call and let us know. 866-899-9673 is the number to call, or you can meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, a great place to discover resources like this.
We are at a critical time in our nation. There is an urgency. Intolerance toward Christianity is rising. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. Even though the number of attacks have risen, the good news is that the Word of God has not changed. Good will always triumph over evil. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Join us and become an encourager. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a great week of teaching here on The Encouraging Word, but I know Dr. Tom would launch you into the weekend with this. Let's not forsake the gathering together of believers. If you can, in some unique ways, get outdoors with like our church is going to do, or be online, but be in church this weekend and watch God bless you. The